He's blunt, but he's fair. This is Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, realist, and host of This Is My Show, which starts now.
All right, here we go, folks. Thanks for your patience. Good to be with you today, Wednesday. I don't even remember what day it was. It's Wednesday, though, and we've got a lot to cover today. Hoping you're having a good start to your day. I know some of you are at lunch. I know some of you are still in the morning. Wherever you are, time-wise, country-wise, we're damn glad to be with you. I am Drew Berquist. This is my show. And reminder, folks, please make sure you're subscribed right here on Rumble. Okay? Make sure that you are. I know a lot of you come to Rumble to watch it either live. You come later in the day and you watch it on Rumble. But make sure you're subscribed. It helps us a whole bunch. We're trying to really grow that audience. So thanks in advance for doing that. Also, as a reminder, another good reason for it is we're blocked out on YouTube. YouTube came after me again, and my channel is locked for speaking the truth and just asking common sense questions. So we can't do it. Jane, good to see you. Brenda, good to see you out in Prescott. Big day for you guys in the state of Arizona yesterday. We'll talk about that here in a second. Hi to everyone else coming in. Like I said, really glad to be with you. Let's get to, by the way, Locals, we'll be at Locals after the show today for booze and banter. So please come on over there. It's drewberquist.locals.com. We'll be spending some time. We'll see how much we get to during the regular show today. And then we'll get on over to Locals for the rest of it. So let's get to question of the day, though. And it's... Yeah, I think it's kind of a tough question. We'll see what you think about it. There's a lot of good... And you know Joe Biden would love this question because it has to do with ice cream. Chris, come on, man. You're losing my interest. Let's get to it. We're getting there, Chris. We got to do our question of the day first. That's kind of how we do things here. And the question is this. What is the most underrated flavor of ice cream? Before we get to politics, let us know what it is. Not your favorite, the most underrated. So one that you like but doesn't get enough love. While you're sending in your responses, friends, the entire world is experiencing food shortages. Supply chain breakdowns continue to have this domino effect on everything, especially food production. We're all seeing it. Farmers can't plant as many crops now because of fertilizer shortages, forced regulations, high fuel prices, all of that, which is just going to cause more painful food shortages. So when we run out of the food we're eating now, it takes time. It's like a bourbon distillery, right? They don't know how much they're going to have, then it sells out, and then you're waiting a long time. Same thing here. Maybe not quite as long, but you got to wait for that food to grow. So be prepared, guys. Get on over to survivewithdrew.com. You can save $50 on a four-week food kit. Get free shipping from My Patriot Supply. Again, it's survivewithdrew.com. And make sure that you are squared away, you and your family. Okay, let's get your responses. Then we'll dive into the politics. I promise we'll dive into the stories. What do we got? Peppermint says, yep. Cherry vanilla. Okay, I don't know if I've had cherry vanilla. Vanilla, just straight up vanilla. I like it. Another vanilla. Lots of people coming in vanilla. Pistachio, mint chocolate chip. Got it. Here's the kicker, though, Barb. Is the mint chocolate chip the white or the green? Is it kind of the pastel green? I think it's got to be green, too. Now, 100%. It's food coloring and dye, no doubt, not as healthy. But we're eating ice cream, so let's chocolate, yeah, monkey
at,
chip.
At that point, you write it all off.
Yeah, exactly. Butter pecan, black raspberry, moose tracks, another mint chip, chocolate dipped ice cream cones. Barb Rocks and Deb both came in green. Okay.
Now, Publix, where you're at, has great mint chocolate chip. I love their mint chocolate chip, but they also do a mint chocolate moose tracks.
Well, hello. It's like a minty flavor with the moose track.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I like it. All right. Strawberry, peanut butter cup. Can only find peppermint at Christmas. Oh, that's rough. So we get the peppermint candy one here at Christmas, which we'll like go in and just buy them all. Like, we'll take those, fill up the cart. Coffee, that's a good answer, Nancy. All right, so we got some good answers. I love all these answers. To me, mint chocolate chip, because I love it so much, is not an underrated one. And I feel like a lot of people answered that. So a lot of people like it. I feel like butter pecan is underrated, and it is delicious. It's not the one I go to all the time. But if you say, hey, you want some butter pecan ice cream, I'm like, yep, I really do. That's a good answer.
It's Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you'd consider this to be an ice cream, but orange sherbet is my.
I count that in there, and that's a great ice cream. I mean, it's a yeah. sherbet. It's in the sherbet family. Yeah. But no, it's
so good. That one I have to. Someone else has to manage me on that, because I will just eat the whole half gallon tub of it in one sitting. Because A, it's not going to hurt my stomach, and B, it just tastes so good.
Yeah, right.
And then I get upset when they take the carton away, and they're like, "You told me to do this." I'm like, "Yeah, but you weren't supposed to do it." You know. So then, yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, we got some good answers. Question of the day. Yes, Chris, Mark. Talking about cutting edge stuff here, asking questions about the question of the day. That's how we start the show. Sometimes it's a serious question. Sometimes it's not a serious question. That's just how we roll around here. We kind of ease
today was
things.
A serious question.
And today was a serious. This was super serious. All right, so let's get to Joe Biden here. If you were at Booze and Banter yesterday, I alluded to this, but he's taking credit for and he's not even really fixed the problem, but he's taking credit for what he is considering to have fixed. A problem that he created. Take a listen to this yesterday.
They were wrong. We recovered all the manufacturing jobs we lost during the pandemic. 613,000 of them gained since I took office, more than any other president. Construction and new manufacturing facilities are up more than double.
Okay, so again, we're not going to dive into this. We did it during Booze and Banter yesterday, but we didn't show the clip. You cannot take credit. They do, and they're very persistent in their efforts for taking credit for such things. You can't eliminate 613,000 jobs, then say, okay, we're going to bring you back. You're allowed to go back. You're not mandated to be vaccinated anymore, which, by the way, was not his doing. That was a judge's doing. You cannot do that and then say, we just added jobs. Look what I did. Like, I mean, you can do that with anything as simple as, I've got water. I'm putting the water away. I've got water again. I made water. No, you didn't. You just brought your water back. I made fire. No, you didn't bring jobs back, Joe. You didn't. You don't get credit for that. But what's sad is there's people out there who are going to listen to that, see that clip, hear his message, read whatever his staff put out on Twitter, which, again, he doesn't even have the login to. And they're going to be like, this is great. Like, maybe he's not as bad as everyone thinks. He is. He's in fact, worse. It is, Chris. It's absolutely crazy that they believe he's creating these jobs. And they talk, and there's what's worse yet, and I said that we weren't going to talk about this much, but what's worse yet is this administration, KJP in particular, from the podium, Identity Politics Press Secretary, is out there saying how the economy's booming. It's like, What economy are you looking at? Because we're all enduring the worst economy, highest prices, everything is awful. We're going through hell right now. But they're literally saying, well, we made some gains here. We took gas down a few cents. It's still $3 more than it was when Trump left office. And we still have set record after record. But we made a little bit of change. Like, they realize, though, and it's sad, but they realize that people are that stupid. That they can say these things is completely ludicrous as they are, and it will work. And that's where we are. And it's.
Well, it's like, last week when you and I were together and we looking at what was going on in the news, especially like, I think it was Friday. And they're like, Biden administration quietly starts rebuilding the wall. And then I said to you, I was like, well, hey, at this rate in 6 months, we're going to be doing our own oil production again, because they're going to be like, guys, we got a brilliant idea. And so it's so dumb that hey, I hope that they start doing that. And I hope that's the progression. That would be fantastic. Oil would go, price of gas would go down.
Right.
But for them to get the credit, oh my God, that would be the worst thing ever.
Oh, but they will.
Ever.
of course. Smart people out there, a lot of you guys in the audience being among those people, you're in that smart category, you're going to recognize the truth. The problem is the masses won't. And it's, again, it's one of those things where it's like, man, you guys are so dumb that you're not even worth it. It's like, why don't you want to unite with them? Well, for one, they're hateful, awful people who want to destroy this country that I love and fought for. For two, the people that follow them, follow these quote-unquote leaders, are so stupid that they're not worth it. You can't get through to them. It's not possible. You can't fix stupid, as Ginger said, and It's so true. And we're seeing that. We're experiencing that. We're living that every day here. They are. They're low IQ morons. You're right, Robert. Okay, let's get in. There were some primaries yesterday. I'm not sure if you guys were aware of that. I think you all were. And things looking good right now in Arizona. They're saying it's too close to call. Wasn't looking good early on, although I had hope. I had hope, and then I fell asleep. But when I woke up, things had gotten better for Carrie Lake. Trump-backed Carrie Lake, former news anchor. We've shared a lot of clips there. We've had a lot of discussions about her here on the show. And she took the lead over Arizona Board of Regents member, Rhino-backed Karen Taylor Robson. But the lead is allegedly fewer than 12,000 votes. So Carrie Lake has 46.2% of the vote. Taylor Robson had 44.5 in that Republican primary. And they're both, of course, looking to take over for Doug Ducey, who's a douche. So it's looking good for her. But we've all been down this path before, too, and elections in this country are as bad as they were in Afghanistan, and which we controlled, and they're being controlled here, too, by the way. But it's looking at least positive right now for Carrie Lake. She basically announced and claimed victory last night. Here was that scene.
We have the ideas, we have the policies, and we are going to win this 100%. I don't want any of you to not believe that. When they count the votes, we are going to win this, and there's no path to victory for our opponent. And when we get into office, we are going to reform our elections for once and for all.
So it'd be amazing, right? Again, I'm hopeful that we can win. And keep in mind, she was going against big Rhino money. The establishment does not want Carrie Lake to be the governor or the primary, the GOP nominee, I should say, for the November election. They don't want that at all. It terrifies them. And they don't want a lot of things, for that matter, that happened last night across the country and hopefully continue to happen. But she pulled it off. And the fact that she's even in this spot right now where it looks like she's the winner is an amazing thing. Again, it's not over till it's over, but we've got a lot of things to be excited about. What we can't be excited about, though, is how much of a disaster the state of Arizona was yet again on elections. I mean, you had Pinal County, 63,000 mail-in ballots went to the wrong voters in Pinal County, which is a very heavy Republican county, by the way. You had Maricopa, who's been at the front of the issue, you know, tip of the spear here in terms of election fraud, all sorts of stuff going on, the audit, everything going on there. They were turning people away at the polls. They ran out of ballots. Their phone line, their helpline, got annihilated, was unreachable. Polling places were getting changed. Communication was just atrocious. And it's like, how long have we been doing elections again? Because I'm pretty sure it's been since the inception of our country. Like, how do we keep screwing this up? Again, we helped run elections overseas in third world countries that were awful. They were atrocious. They were corrupt. And we always helped make sure the winner won on the intel side. But I've seen how broken they are behind the scenes. We're literally no different. We're no different, and it's corruption, it's fraud, it's all of those things, it's cheating, but it's also just ineptitude. Like, how can we not figure this out? And I know the answer. The answer is we don't want to figure it out. It's like, how can we not get the fossil fuel prices down, the gas prices down? The answer is we don't want to get them down. They've told us we're transitioning. It's a transition. Granholm said it again today. Yeah, but it sucks, but you know what? It's a great opportunity for us to transition. How many times have we heard that from all of these people? It's the same thing with the elections. We don't want to fix the elections. If we fix them, we can't rig them. And I'm not saying that every election out there is rigged. They only take care of that when they really need it. So it was a disaster in Arizona. Lots of problems. Thankfully, though, it still looks like Carrie Lake's going to come out on top. My buddy Eli Crane, who former Navy SEAL, just an awesome dude, Trump-backed candidate as well. He won the race for the House seat in the second district over Walter Blackman. So congrats to Eli. He's been on the show multiple times. Good dude. He's the founder of Bottle Breacher. If you have any of his products, if you don't, you should go get them. And then in Michigan, we had Tudor Dixon, who, if you've watched Real America's Voice and some of the other stuff, she's kind of, you know, been floating around the digital Republican conservative digital media circuit for a while now. I don't know her well, but she came out on top of a crowded primary field and will face Whitmer, one of the most tyrannical, awful governors in the country, in the November general election. So that was good. Also, by the way, picked up an endorsement from Trump right there at the end. So things going pretty well, right? You've also got John Gibbs sticking with Michigan. Pete Meyer, who was outspoken about it, you know, January 6th, impeachment, all this stuff. You had John Gibbs, who Trump endorsed. And he beat out Meyer in the 3rd congressional district. Meyer was one of the only, one of 10, rather, House Republicans who voted to impeach him following the events of January 6th. So Gibbs is in. He's the GOP nominee. He's going to face off against Hillary Scholten, who ran unopposed in her primary. And it's supposed to be a pretty tight race, according to most analysts out there, come the fall. Sadly, though, within Michigan. So all that to say, real quick, you had a great night for President Trump for the America First agenda, of which I'm a huge proponent of. Not just because of Trump, because America First makes sense for all Americans, left, right, or center. The people who can't see that in the center or on the left are absolute buffoons and never got this country in the first place.
How dare you put our country first?
That's right. Oh, I mean, seriously, how could you not want that? Because I think they literally are so dumb, some of these people, that they reached the conclusion that, well, if America's first, we can't do anything for anyone else. No, that's not what anyone's saying. It's not what anyone's saying. It's just we can't take care of others if we don't take care of ourselves first. We're not a stronger, better, ally to help you if we're not better positioned and strong here at home.
No. I've talked with people, like, they're here in America now, but they're, like, from Ghana. And I said, hey, just from an outsider's point of view, like, with everything that's been going on the past few years, what does it look like for you? And he's like, America can no longer go to a country and say, hey, we know how to fix your problems.
Yeah.
They can't. They've shown their hand. They've shown how dysfunctional they are. And, hey, it would be great for every country to get aid from them. That'd be great. But no one's going to want it. And he goes, and of course they're going to take it, because, you know, that's what America does and that's what other countries do. But he's like, but from the everyday person, they're like, why is America coming over when they can't even get their own garbage taken care of?
Yeah.
And so it's just sad. We're in this weird spot where it's like, I think us focusing on America first would be better, because then in time we'd be able to do what we've been trying to do.
Well, I use this analogy all the time. Like, you don't go to someone for advice that's a hot mess. Like, this dude just got out of jail. He's got a coke problem. I wonder what he would think about. Like, you don't go to Hunter Biden for personal advice on how to be a better human being, right?
Yeah. Hey, Hunter, can you help me? I got an addiction problem with coke.
You go to someone who's put together. And if you're put together, you feel a little bit more positioned and balanced, or whatever you want to call it, to help out others. That's just, it just makes sense. It's just, oh man, it's crazy. Chris Jordan, man, again, thanks for being here today. We're glad you're here with us. Got to get your name out there, because you're speaking nothing but the truth and people need to hear it. So, used to get it out there a lot. I've got a big following on YouTube, which has been taken away from me, and we're building it up other places. So I appreciate that sentiment. We're going to keep doing it, but if you would share it, that would be great, because we greatly appreciate it. We do need the love around here, and, you know, building up new audiences is not easy, especially when you're so hated for just saying pretty normal things. I think, I mean, I'm blunt, but I'm pretty normal, I think. Let's keep with Michigan, though. Go ahead.
I just love, you know, the strike we got was nothing but truth, nothing but science backed stuff, and they're like, nope, see you 100%
later. 100% truth. And, you know, on that real quick, because we're gonna bring, we'll get into it more when Christina Rahm, Dr. Rahm, comes back on. I gotta take some stuff. I, you know, there's different stuff. I don't take much, because I don't like heavy narcotics, but I do have to take some stuff periodically for just some of the crap that I deal with because of my old job, right? Nothing to worry about, yada, yada, yada. But it plays its role, right? It plays its role in kind of just helping me out. And the stuff that Dr. Rom, and this is not a plug, although you should go to therootbrands.com/Drew Berquist, but it's not an intended plug for it. It's so good, and it's been proven so effective at stripping out the heavy metals and toxins from vaccines and other things. Not just the vaccine. That's what YouTube got mad about. The vaccine's perfect. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's got so many problems. It's ridiculous. But we said in that episode, in the conversation I had with Christina, it's like, look, even if you haven't had the vaccine, everyone has heavy metals and toxins in their blood. So why wouldn't you want this? And the obvious answer is you do. So it's got all sorts of Real Madrid and there's all sorts of people who are starting to use this. I can't get into all the details, but they're wanting to do it for the very reason that it takes stuff out, particularly the vaccine stuff out. But it's so effective that it even takes out the stuff that your bloodstream sees. So it's not perfect for everyone, by the way. It is for most, but it takes out the stuff that it recognizes as a potential problem. So it would strip out the stuff that I need. I'm like, man, I feel weird today. And I was like, yeah, because it's taking all that stuff out. All that to say, it's super effective.
Yeah.
But we got dinged for that. It wasn't like the vaccine and Bill Gates and this, that, and the other. I buy into all that stuff, by the way. But it wasn't that kind of a conversation. It's just ridiculous. All that to say, I've totally taken myself off track. Let's get back on track. Let's talk about Michigan still, because there's bad news. You had Rashida Tlaib, squad member, resident congressional terrorist, who won her primary and is going to be up for re-election, which should be very easy. Things were redistricted there. It's solidly Democrat. So unfortunately, she's going to be there. Speaking of terrorists, though, here was an interesting exchange with Kirby on Afghanistan. Take a listen.
So now that you know that the Taliban is not living up to the part of the deal that they made with the U.S. to not let Afghanistan be a place that terrorists feel like they can be safe, what are you going to do about it?
Well, that gets to Peter's question. I'm not going to telegraph decisions that haven't been made or policy initiatives one way or the other.
For some spectacular terrorist attack in the U.S., to then say, oh, well, there's terrorists.
If we were, Peter,
in Afghanistan, now we can go get them.
If we were, Peter, then we wouldn't have taken the hit on Saturday, the strike that we took on Mr. Zawahiri, if we were just waiting. This isn't about waiting. It's about watching. And we watched very closely, and we acted on what we learned. And I would go so far as to say not only the American people are safer as a result of President Biden's decision, but the rest of the world is safer. Does that mean that the threat from al-Qaeda is over? No, of course it's not. Now, they'll have to make some decisions here, and we'll watch that too. And if we discern a threat to the American homeland again, from them or any other terrorist group, the president will reserve the right to take that action again.
I mean, can we, for the love of God, can somebody in this administration who's getting high-level briefs, clearly not listening to them because of our policy on Afghanistan, the withdrawal, everything we've done, can somebody please say Zawahiri's name right? I get it. I don't expect an everyday person to get it right. I spent my life my adult life, pretty much all of it in Afghanistan. So I know the guy's name. No one else necessarily should, but these people in government who are being briefed on it, who are watching the strike, by the way, you should at least be able to say the dude's name.
Well, and also too, I mean, it's, there was a lot of time where I spent in news, and there's actually like things that anchors go through to learn how to say these names correctly. And they, even if it's something that got thrown in the prompter last, that their brain knows if certain letters appear in a certain order, it's pronounced this way. Like they know, so that they don't come across as like not knowing, you know? And so it's crazy to see that not everyone is previous, especially if you know you're going to be on the stand talking there in the press room. You know, like
it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And of course, I mean, what do we expect? I mean, these guys executed the worst withdrawal, the biggest international blunder in our lifetime, if not in history. They have no sense of how things were going in Afghanistan pre-withdrawal. They have no sense now. And they're doing it so they can say, yeah, we got an over-the-horizon victory, which they had talked about a year ago. But, and it is, like I said yesterday in the show, it is a big victory. And Mikhail, I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong. I can vouch for it. And just trust me. But, so it's a great thing. But you guys have no understanding of how this region, how that country in particular works. So as you're responding in a snarky fashion to Peter Ducey, Michael, like the boy's name. All right, thank you, appreciate it. I feel like I've done this before with you, and I appreciate it. But as you're responding to Peter Ducey in a snarky fashion, it's just further, like, you don't know what's going on there. You don't understand Al-Qaeda. We shouldn't be waiting. They are there. ISIS is there. The Taliban's there. You've got the Haqqanis, who are still there, who are, of course, a faction of the Taliban, but they're talking about trying to get taken off the blacklist, being targeted. By the way, there's still reports that one of Haqqani's sons was potentially killed in that. I haven't confirmed it yet. But it's just, it frustrates me so much how dumb they are in this. And again, I get it. Like, not everyone hunted terrorists for a living. In fact, almost nobody does that. But these people have access that we would brief them on and pass along to people, and still they're just idiots. So there's a new AQ leader, or at least they're saying, calls himself the Sword of Justice, Saif al-Adel. He was an ex-Egyptian army officer, one of the founding members of Al-Qaeda. He was a dude involved in Black Hawk Down, which now I want to watch that again. Damn, that's a good movie.
Such a good movie.
Oh, it's so good. So he was there with Bin Laden and El Zawahiri early on, and was involved in Mogadishu and all of that. So we'll see if that proves true. But he's not a good cat, that's for sure. And hopefully we can get him and make sure that he takes a dirt nap here soon as well. But over all of this, because of the Zawahiri killing, which again, good thing. Count this as a victory. Does Biden get credit? Hell no, he gets no credit. My friends at the agency do. But there's a State Department warning over the killing. They went ahead and said that everyone, all Americans, need to be concerned about traveling, or not be concerned about traveling. Let me see what their exact phrasing is here. It's a worldwide caution to American citizens following the killing of Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. Concerned about the continued threat of a terrorist attack, demonstrations, and other violent actions against U.S. citizens and interest overseas. This is a common thing when stuff like this happens. It also happens on anniversaries of events, all that kind of stuff. The Department of State believes there's a higher potential for anti-American violence given the death of Ayman al-Zawahiri on July 31st, 2022. Current information suggests that the terrorist organizations continue to plan terrorist attacks against U.S. interests in multiple regions across the globe. These attacks may employ a wide variety of tactics, including suicide operations, assassinations, kidnappings, hijackings, and bombings. It goes on. But they've announced an alert over that, which, again, I bring up not to concern people. This is pretty common. Certainly, they are not going to be happy. Certainly, there will be some form of retribution. What it will be is TBD, and it'll probably not just be one thing. But I can also tell you this is every day in the world of counterterrorism. There are always attacks being planned. They always want to kill the West and Americans in particular. They always want to kill, you know, government officials in particular. So it's going to continue on. But I wanted to kind of dovetail into this story from here, because we talked about Rashida Tlaib, we talked about Al-Qaeda, you know, all of our terrorist friends here. And then speaking of terror, how you and me and everyone else here are considered terrorists, which is funny. Again, I fought terrorists for the U.S. government for my adult life, and now technically speaking, they consider me one. It's a real confusing scenario to be existing in. But you had FBI whistleblower leak an internal document showing the Bureau's domestic terror symbols guide. And it's a symbols guide on, you know, what they associate with, who they consider to be domestic terrorists here in this country. And do we have that disco? We're good?
Is it up?
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Oh, it's up. There we go. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
No, like, didn't I put it up?
So it includes, sorry, I was looking at multiple monitors here. It includes the Second Amendment, mentions of the Second Amendment, references to the Second Amendment, the Gadsden flag, which everyone loves, Revolutionary War imagery, the Betsy Ross. I love the Betsy Ross flag, by the way. I think it's freaking outstanding. I love our flag. Don't get me wrong. So basically, though, all of the symbols that God-fearing, gun-toting, Constitution-abiding Americans love and share and have on their car, have on their Facebook page, their Twitter, you know, profile, all of this stuff, that's what they associate and consider to be kind of that initial string they're going to pull if they see that on your profile or see a concerning post to them. If you have this stuff, you're considered...
Think of the amount of shirts.
Yeah, I mean,
people
seriously.
Have it sell and wear. I mean, come on.
So if you've got, and I'm not, I like these guys, but if you're wearing like a Nine Line apparel shirt or a Grunt Style shirt or something like that, you might be a terrorist. If you're wearing a shirt from our store, you might be a terrorist. If you watch this show, odds are you're a terrorist. But it's, I mean, it's crazy.
I'm just, out of all those symbols on there, I didn't see like the Confederate flag or anything like that. You know, I mean, you know, there's other ones that I would have thought that would have been on there.
Right.
As well. But no, not
no,
there.
No, it's not. Well, and look, I mean, I get, like, if they said, I don't agree that they should are terrorist groups or domestic terrorists or domestic extremists. I don't agree with everything they do either. But if they said, you know, the Proud Boys or throw in one of the militias out there, if they said that they were going after that because they've got, you know, they've just got that scent and they're pissed at them and all that, I still would be totally against it. And I am against it. But it would make more sense than what they're saying here. They're literally casting out such a wide net that it's like, what? Like, you're basically just saying all white Americans who vote Republican are terrorists. That's essentially what they're saying. And it's not just...
I was going to say, of course. Of course right? We are.
Jeff Foxworthy should create a new bit. Instead of you might be a redneck, you might be a terrorist. Exactly.
Here's the second page of it. I have it. I didn't realize that there was more symbols on it, but they're even saying these symbols. Let me see, pull it up. These symbols here.
Can you zoom in on well. That?
Yeah, give me a second.
Let's see if we can crop that I can't see it on the small screen.
Yeah, one second. Let me come back out here while you're talking and I'll fix it.
So Dodie Johnson, we watched BLM and Antifa terrorists all last summer. Absolutely. Of course, they're not considered bad. There's Democrats and politicians in D.C. and mainstream media folks who were actively trying to bail them out. We had Soros appointed district attorneys in these big metropolitan areas who were making sure that they were, you know, let go with minimal to no charges. We're actually going to talk about it tomorrow because we're not going to do it today. We got a clip of Brian Stelter, who is less than human. He's just such a douche. Gosh, I hate that guy. But it's him and this other dude belittling all of that and making fun of people like, again, you and me for like even bringing it up and questioning it. Like, no big deal. They did, like, I'll show you the clip tomorrow, so make sure you come back. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, did the Christian cross make the list? Okay, so we've got the...
3 percenters, the Oath Keepers.
The Oath Keepers. I was trying to think of the damn name earlier.
Yeah, it's just hard. Like, that's me zooming in, but the image is not a high
American
high
Contingency? Depth. I know who runs that. That's ridiculous.
Is that Lightfoot?
I can't see the last one.
It's just very small. Sorry.
But no, I know who... Whatever. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's not true.
The DB somehow is on there.
Is on there. Wouldn't shock me.
Nope, not at all.
Wouldn't shock me one bit. You know, it kind of be like, I don't want that kind of attention, but it also kind of be a badge of honor.
Yeah, but also, I mean, who's not to say the next one that comes out is going to have that, the Hodge twins, you know, Grunt Style, all the other brands that are, you know, it's just stand for freedom, liberty, and it's there. And, you know, and so like, this is just the first of many forms that are probably going to come out in the next year or so. that's going to be like, well, we've added more to the list. Yeah. You know, they should just say, to make it easier, if you see these symbols, you're fine.
Right. Exactly.
Everything else, be afraid. Be very afraid.
Likely a terrorist. Oh my God. All right, guys, if you haven't hit that like button, please smash it now. Please make sure you're subscribed, liking the page, whichever the case might be. We'd really ask, though, that you do get on over to Rumble. It's rumble.com/Drew Berquist. Make sure you're subscribed there. It's the safest place. Again, we don't know that the show's going back on YouTube. It might not ever be on YouTube again. I'm sorting through that now. Facebook, you're here today. I see you. I love you. I'm so glad all of you are here on the various, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different pages on Facebook. But it's just a matter of time there, too, right? So make sure you have the Rumble subscription done. You don't have to watch it there all the time. I will copy in the link today if I can get the damn cursor over here. So you've got it. You can go to this video. You don't have to finish watching it there today if you don't want, but go there and then make sure you subscribe to the page. So you've got that redundancy, that backup in place. Working on some stuff. Had some conversations today with the developer on working on things, so it would be, you know, right on drewberquist.com. Super easy for everybody. Keep you posted on that. All right, so let's get a little bit. We got Kirby one more time. We showed a clip yesterday. Obviously, Pelosi lands in Taiwan yesterday. China not too happy. They told her not to go. She went anyways. As I said yesterday, I think she and everyone else has the right to go to Taiwan if they want, but I don't think it's the right time. Shirley, I am on Telegram, but we don't do our videos on there right now because it's kind of a pain. More to come on that. So
yeah, we just post the links on Telegram. It's all.
Yeah, we post. Yeah. So there's no like active chatting and community on there per se. I'll be honest. I don't really like Telegram. I think it's wonky. I know a lot of people do. It's not censored as much, which is great. But call him Grandma. YouTube kicked off a recipe show. She quoted the Bible. Well, damn, because one of the things I was going to do on there with the channel is some recipes. Shit. I'm screwed every which way I go. But anyways, getting back to Kirby. He said yesterday, we don't support the independence of Taiwan. He doubled down on it again here at this clip.
Admiral, one on Taiwan, if you would, and one on the Middle East very quickly. You keep telling us that U.S. policy hasn't changed and that the United States does not support an independent Taiwan. And yet, if we look at what Speaker Pelosi tweeted from the ground in Taiwan, her post actually states, quote, America stands with Taiwan. We all know that Taiwan harbors ambitions toward independence. When the Speaker of the House says, we stand with Taiwan, America stands with Taiwan, how can the Chinese construe that as anything else but that you're supporting independence?
I'll let the Speaker speak for herself. All I can tell you, James, is what I told you yesterday, and I'm happy to repeat it. Nothing has changed about our adherence to the One China policy. Nothing has changed about our stance on Taiwan independence, which is that we do not support Taiwan independence. And nothing has changed, James, about our commitments and how seriously we take those commitments under the Taiwan Relations Act. Everything is consistent, James. I can't say that any more clear.
Let's key in on that last point because I actually didn't miss that the first time. Everything is consistent, except for Nancy Pelosi, who's there now, saying she stands with Taiwan. Except for quote unquote President Joe Biden, who's not really, but he's playing the role. He's being used as puppet. He said that we'll use the military might to defend them. We've had so many politicians over the years say that we would stand by them. And yet now it's like our policy's always been clear. It remains clear. We don't support Taiwanese independence. What? What are you talking about? Like, it's not consistent at all. No one knows where you stand, which is, by the way, Kirby, one of the reasons we're in this predicament. China doesn't know where we stand. Taiwan doesn't know where we stand. Taiwan thinks that we're on their side, and a lot of us did too, but now it's not clear. It's confusing as hell. Could somebody just step up and communicate and think more clearly? Oh, man, it's
you were trying to combine communicate and clearly.
I know I was, and then I wasn't communicating clearly. So right now, Taiwan, though, is experiencing a show of force. China said that they'd be showing force. They are. You can see some footage here in the background. That's what it looks like there. So again, they said they would. They are. They said that there's going to be targeted military actions. We still don't know what that means, but we'll see. Their presidential office was hit with a cyber attack right before Pelosi got there. So all sorts of stuff happening here. You had Chang Tung-han. Chang Tung-han. I don't know if you say it faster in Taiwan. I have no idea. But he confirmed, whatever, I'm racist. Not really. But he confirmed the DDoS attack, on the office in a Facebook post, noting that the DDoS attack consisted of 200 times more traffic to the website than normal, and it was carried out by a group from outside of Taiwan. Other Taiwanese government sites were also down ahead of her visit, including the Ministry of National Defense, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and the website of Taiwan International Airport, where Pelosi's plane landed. All three websites are apparently back up and running now. So someone said here, Nancy had to go to take focus off the Pauly trial, says James. I think that makes sense. I think that it also makes sense what we talked about yesterday. They sold off a lot of Indivia stock right before the chips deal came through and went through here in America. Stocks plummeted. They had to go and fix that because they've got a lot of money in it. So I think there's multiple reasons here, all of which are not the obvious and far less obvious ones going on. There's kind of sub-stories to all of the subplots, if you will. So let's talk about Paul for a second, because we didn't get into him yesterday. He's being arraigned today, Wednesday. And there's more information about Pauly Boy and the night of his DUI. I'll just read this. This is from a report. According to the report, both cars suffered major collision damage in the crash that happened around 10:17 p.m. on May 28th. Medical units from Cal Fire were the first on the scene, followed by a deputy from the Napa County Sheriff's Department. When the California Highway Patrol arrived, they found Paul Pelosi still in the driver's seat, the only occupant of the car. The other driver was standing outside of his sport utility vehicle. Both men declined. I don't know if they're the other person with men. Both people declined medical treatment at the scene. This is what I love. This is the kind of douche that Pelosi is. Both of them. And you could interchange them. You could put Nancy in there. She's been drinking Chardonnay and then vodka since, 9 a.m., whatever the case might be. When Paul Pelosi was asked for ID, he handed them his driver's license and an $11.99 foundation card, which is a California Highway Patrol charity that supports officers and provides scholarships for their children. So look, I'm taking care of you. Why don't you just, do the right thing here. Let me off the hook. Also, my last name's, I don't know if you see it on the ID, it's Pelosi. One eye Pelosi. But according to the report, here's what's interesting. Here's why it's coming back up. Obviously, he's being arraigned today. We'll see how that goes. I haven't seen a report since we started the show. It might have. But according to the report, he was showing signs of impairment, obviously. He ended up having a 0.08 to blood alcohol level. But it was not just alcohol. They're now thinking he had drugs in his system as well, and it was a mixture of the two. Whether it was lots of alcohol in the drugs or the mixture took him to that point, whatever it was, he was impaired. And there's lots of hubbub about this, lots of questions. Well, what were the drugs? Were they illicit illegal drugs? Were they prescription drugs? Either way, the result's the same. He got into a car wreck, was driving, when he shouldn't have been driving, putting everyone, himself included, in harm's way. But it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. I'm.
Sounds like he got advice from Hunter Biden.
Exactly. They're all hanging out together. Never, folks. This isn't your free tip for the day. Never get advice from Hunter Biden. Don't do it.
I mean, could you imagine, if Nancy's like, all right, look, I'm not saying you can't do these things, but I mean, if you're going to do it, call up Hunter, because clearly, he's getting away with it.
And he's probably got a line on the good stuff.
So just go for it. And this is all just us joking around.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't do drugs. I seriously don't. I don't even want. Okay. So, and nor should you. So he's facing up to 5 years of probation, a minimum of 5 days in jail, installation of an ignition interlock device, fines and fees, completion of a court-ordered drinking driver class, and other terms as appropriate. We'll see what comes down today. Pelosi was asked about it. She, of course, did not want to talk about it. I wonder why. I wonder why she's shying away from this so much.
It's because she's all those cyber attacks in Taiwan where she's at, you know.
Right.
She's got to hunker down for those cyber attacks.
Got to.
They cut to her and she's got the helmet and the body armor on. These cyber attacks are really intense over here.
All right. So I have a question for you. I'll ask you first, Disco, but the question goes to all of you out there. Are you an ableist? And moreover, do you know what an ableist is?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's that? Is that like I'm an enabler?
No, it's not. Like, okay. It's not. It is, according to a definition that I saw, it's someone who, you know, presents or does, you know, discriminates or shows prejudice against individuals with disabilities. Something that I don't do, no one should do. I've got someone with disabilities in my extended family. Love them to death. One of the greatest gifts ever. I actually think that they're more normal than we all are. But according to this chick's definition that we're about to put on the screen, I'm very much an ableist. Like, to be clear, like, super big-time ableist. If this is now the definition. Again, these guys change definitions all the time. They change genders all the time. It's really hard to keep up with them in this ever-changing world. But according to this, I don't even know who this chick is. She doesn't matter. But according to this definition, here it is. Some ableist words you should probably cut out of your vocabulary because they're ableist. Okay. Idiot or idiotic. Say that all the time. Crazy. I say it too much, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Differently abled. I've never said that. That sounds stupid.
I don't know if I've ever said that one before.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't think you're an ableist if you say that. I just think you're crazy and an idiot. Okay, I'm going to try and work in all of her terms here. Dumb, definitely. This list is dumb. So is the chick saying it. Insane. This chick is insane. Oh, probably a slut. So kidding. She's not.
We have to cancel the insane in the membrane song. Insane in the brain.
Yeah, lame. I don't really use lame anymore, so that's fine. Moron, definitely use that. Psycho, I probably am one of those. Specially abled, no one says it that way. They don't say those things. Stupid, definitely. And then she goes on to say, there are many more, and if anyone wants to add some, feel free to below.
Wow.
Can you imagine being friends with this chick? Oh, Drew, don't say idiot or crazy or lunatic or stupid or dumb or insane. Like, but hold on. Like, those are all the words that I would use to describe you.
You. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Nimrod's a good one. I don't play the PC game. If something's gay, I say, hey, look, that's gay, meaning stupid. If you are in fact gay, I don't care. Could care less. Have no problem with it. I'm not. Just don't push it on me. But I'm not going to play, oh, we don't say that anymore. No, I tell you this all the time. It's like that video we played on Booze and Banter the other day. The guy's dressed up as in a sombrero. He's dressed up like in traditional Hispanic garb. All these white people, black people, people of all colors and races. Totally offended by it. Exactly. They're offended by it. He asked all the Mexicans on Uvera Street or whatever it's called. They're like, they love it. It's very nice. You look good. Like, go with it. Like, it's you're sitting Indian style. You're not sitting crisscross applesauce. That's stupid. No one knows what that means.
So I don't know. So as of, like, I went through that thread that she had, and this was like towards the middle of it. And it was like, so all the ableists currently quote tweeting this to make sure we know you're ableists. Thanks for the engagement. This looks great for my analytics.
You're welcome, Becca. You're so welcome.
I'm like, shut up. I can't. Oh my goodness. It just, I had to stop reading the thread because people started adding more into it. And then there was like fights going on about it. And well, it just was.
Here's the thing too. Like, and I don't like this. I don't like this, but you start reading those threads and you see the people who are like, yeah, and here's another good one. We should put this one in there. And like, you start looking, it's like, I hate you. I don't like you because you are so off your rocker. You're so all of these words that you just mentioned that you're unsalvageable. You cannot be saved. Like, that ship's sinking. Should we do something? Nope. Let it go. Actually, no, that's not true. Make sure that there's not any booze on there. If there is, let's get it off. and then let it sink.
I mean, at this point, if people keep coming up with lists and things we can and cannot say, everyone's just going to be quiet. There's going to be no talking allowed in this world at all. Because what I probably said might have offended someone just there.
Yeah. You know what? I love offending people. It's great. Quit thinking, Drew. Says Ginger. I know, right? Golly.
To me, it's like, you know, if you know, it's like the, especially when you are creating content, like if someone's not getting mad, this is the old adage, if someone's not getting mad, then you're not doing your job, you know? And so it's like, here it is. All we're doing is telling truth, speaking common sense. People get upset about it. Awesome. Then we're doing it. You're doing it, Peter. You know,
you're like doing it. Run home, but like, Jack. Sorry, we just went into like they just started doing hook quotes the rest of the way. And Ginger said, quick thinking, Drew, not quit thinking. I should probably do a little bit of the latter too.
Both.
Quit. But yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I just think it's especially people now feel safe on Twitter because Elon has backed out and all that jazz. So they're back to being able to do what they want to do and say and not be, you know, remember, you know, like what was the clip that we showed where they were like, you'd like to go to like, you, would you want to go to a party? Oh, Stelter said it. Would you want to go to a party where there's no rules and you can do whatever you want? Like, you don't want to go. People want rules. You know, and it's like, shut up, Stelter. Like, come on.
Stelter's just never been to a party. I mean, he's been to something that he thinks is a party and he called a party. I went to this party and it was great. No, dude, you weren't at a party. That wasn't a party. He's never been.
That
to
was a
party.
Business. That was a mandatory business luncheon.
I'm like, exactly. I'm telling you, Stelter's parents don't even like him if they're still alive. They just don't. No one does. And I hate to be mean, but he's an awful human being. He just is. There's no one I pick on more because I just looking at his face just makes me angry. It makes me want to punch my own face.
And I can't.
And that doesn't make sense.
His boxers and red socks.
Yeah.
Doing a hit. Can't unsee that.
No, it's hard to unsee. All right, folks, it's about that time. Going to put the link in there for Booze and Banter over on Locals. That's where we're going to be headed. So you got to get over there. Okay. You got to get yourself a drink. You don't have to. If you're still at work, that's fine. I don't want you to get fired. But grab a drink, grab a coffee, grab a water, grab a cigar, grab whatever you're doing, and get on over to Locals. We'll be there in about 5 minutes. You can see it there. The link's on the screen. Make sure you check out survivewithdrew.com. Get $50 off of your four-week food kit. Get going over there with My Patriot Supply. Some great things. You just saw it on the screen a second ago. You can kind of see it down here on the screen. Maybe two hands. I don't know how Vanna would do it. But we look forward to seeing you tomorrow for the main show. If you can't get over to Booze and Banter, but again, it's going to be drewberquist.locals.com. It's another platform that is free of all of the suppression, all of that stuff out there. It's just a different platform, Michael. So would love to get you over there. Follow that link. We'll do it free today for all new people. See you over there. Be safe. Be smart. Be free.
You've just heard Drew Berquist. Tune in weekdays on every major podcast provider or on drewberquist.com.